It's Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we talk to the independent candidate running for Congress in Wisconsin's 6th District.
First, yesterday in Las Vegas, Nevada, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton took the stage as part of the third and final presidential debate.
The matchup, moderated by Chris Wallace of Fox News, tackled the issues of Second Amendment rights and the Supreme Court, abortion, and immigration.
And both candidates were pressed about the scandals plaguing their individual campaigns, such as the sexual assault allegations being leveled against Donald Trump.
Along with the ongoing email controversies surrounding Hillary Clinton, which was exacerbated after WikiLeaks dumped thousands of her campaign's emails on the internet.
Joining us now to talk about the debate is Julia Azari. She's an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. Julia, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we'll delve into the policy issues in just a bit, but I want to step back and talk about the storyline that's really playing out right now. It carries over from the debate and about the challenging the outcome. Last night, Donald Trump said he'd keep us in suspense. And today at a rally in Ohio, he went further with this message.
I would like to promise and pledge to all of my voters and supporters, and to all of the people of the United States, that I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election if I win.
So the caveat there, if I win. Julia, as a political scientist, what was your reaction to this?
Well, I think my reaction was similar to the reaction of people of all different professional educational backgrounds, which is that the essence of what makes a democracy functional is accepting the institutions and accepting some legitimacy on the part of the other side, accepting that that the other side might disagree with you, but that they're still a legitimate part of the system. And that's what's being rejected here. And I think it's very hard to get around the fact that even playing around with this rhetoric is really not the norm.
And the subject of abortion came up last night, specifically the topic of late-term partial birth abortions. Hillary Clinton was asked specifically about this topic, and her answer was that she supported late-term abortions if the mother's life was in danger or if the baby was going to die after being born. Here is Donald Trump's response.
Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me. Because based on what she's saying and based on where she's going and where she's been, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb in the 9th month on the final day. And that's not acceptable.
Well, that is not what happens in these cases. And using that kind of scare rhetoric is just terribly unfortunate. You should meet with some of the women that I've met with, women I've known over the course of my life. This is one of the worst possible choices that any woman and her family has to make. And I do not believe the government should be making it.
So what do you make of how these candidates approached their answers to this question?
So on one level, this was pretty typical for what we expect from Republicans and Democrats. And this, I thought, was one example of Trump having really embraced the standard Republican position. On the other hand, there was a little bit of noise on the internet that, well, Clinton's position did channel a lot of what is a standard Democratic position, that the way she articulated it as a woman, and especially defending the reasons behind late-term abortions, which sometimes Democrats have been more hesitant to do, that was a little bit unique. So I would say it pretty much illustrates the kind of party polarization on social issues that we've come to expect.
And Julia, Americans invested a lot of time in watching these debates. There's been reports of increased visits to therapists, certainly restless nights for Americans after watching these spectacles. Do you think these three debates got anywhere?
That's a really good question. I did have a moment last night where I was watching the debate and kind of thinking, I feel like I've seen this before. This is kind of a two-sided situation in some ways. I think it's great in some ways that people are watching the debates, that they've had high viewership, people are engaged in politics, people are, it seems, being social in their politics. But this anxiety, obviously, is not a great development. In terms of whether the debates got anywhere, I think that they showed a kind of consistency in terms of the two candidates, right? You have Trump, where there's a lot of questions about whether he's, he's not a standard Republican. He has not really been affiliated with the party up to this point. So he was, he articulated some Republican points and some not so much. He also was, we should just come out and say it, had a number of moments in these debates that were not what we expect, right? A lot of interruptions, calling Hillary Clinton a nasty woman. These things are not normal, and I think that those are important revelations. With Clinton, there was, at one point, I think this was the previous debate, where she did actually address the emails a little bit and say that she regretted it and she would do something different in the past, and I think people are looking for more of that from her. But I think we got to see a little bit of who the candidates are, so that perhaps got us somewhere with those debates.
And, as someone who has studied politics, have you ever seen a campaign season like this? Have we entered a new era of language in politics?
I think a little bit. The line that I keep coming back to, or the thing that I keep coming back to, is that the parties as organizations were proven in the nomination season to be fairly weak. Particularly the Republican Party was unable to coordinate formally or informally to prevent Trump's candidacy, which a lot of them didn't seem to want. But partisanship is strong. People's identification with the parties is strong. That's not a typical combination in American politics. Typically, when the parties have been weak, partisanship has been weaker, and at times when partisanship has been really fervent, the parties as organizations have had a fair amount of control over what goes on within them. So this is a particularly, I think, unprecedented and potent combination.
There's been so much talk of undecided voters. Do you think this third debate helped undecided voters in any such way to make a decision?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Do you think this final debate helped undecided voters come to any type of conclusion, a decision?
Yeah, so this is interesting. I've heard a couple of people try to talk about who would be an undecided voter in this context, and it seems like the consensus is that an undecided voter is someone who doesn't really like either candidate. I'm not sure if the debates would persuade you to like either candidate. I think that if you're somebody who is, what I have heard anyway through Twitter and other means is people who are Republicans but don't like Trump and were kind of looking for reasons to like Trump, there have been some moments there, but maybe not enough. And for people who are Democrats who are looking to like Hillary Clinton, I think that there have been enough moments to sort of hammer home a negative partisanship. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we've been seeing after these debates, is a pretty consistent narrative that Clinton won and that Clinton, has been doing better in the polls since the debates began. And in some ways that's kind of remarkable that the debates, because they've had this sort of consistent series of events, has had a little bit more of an impact, I think, than we would normally predict.
And then does winning a debate even matter anymore?
You wouldn't think so. Some of the evidence shows that it can matter if the media thinks you won the debate and you get a bunch of
press.
Positive press afterward.
Well, and are there any final takeaways really quickly that, you walked away with after watching what you watched last night?
So I think the thing that struck me the most watching last night's debate is that Trump seems to have taken some of the standard Republican talking points and issue positions, but the thing that's consistently missing is, and this is true in the primary debates too, is a kind of articulation of a classic GOP small government philosophy, channeling of Ronald Reagan. You kind of mentioned Ronald Reagan a couple of times, but there's not a lot of talk about the value of smaller government or something along those lines, and that is a huge shift. It's a huge shift for a Republican presidential candidate, a big turn away from what we've seen in the recent past.
And we'll leave it there. That was Julia Azari, is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University.